Racine, W251 BU Kenosha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Pro-Palestinian campus protests proliferate. Los Angeles police in riot gear arrested 93 people on trespassing charges at USC last night as they cleared an encampment in Alumni Park, where next month's commencement is scheduled to take place. CBS LA's Tom Waite.
Bottles thrown, officers pushing the crowd back with batons. Arrests started soon after. Protesters who refused to leave the campus zip-tied, one by one, calmly, methodically. A circle of officers standing guard.
At least 34 protesters were taken into custody at the University of Texas at Austin. In New York, video shows protesters chasing the city's assistant chief of police into a building at NYU after an officer handcuffed a demonstrator there. House Speaker Mike Johnson visited Columbia University and called on the school's president to resign if she can't bring order to what he calls chaos.
As Columbia has allowed these lawless agitators and radicals to take over, the virus of anti-Semitism is spread across other campuses.
The Supreme Court hears arguments this morning over whether former President Trump can be criminally prosecuted or not in a federal case charging him with plotting to overturn the 2020 election. Notre Dame law professor Derek Mueller.
It would be unprecedented to say that some person in the United States is above the law. That is, that the president would somehow be immune from criminal prosecution.
Testimony resumes at Mr. Trump's criminal trial in New York today. A grand jury in Arizona has indicted 18 people for allegedly trying to use fake electors to overturn the former president's loss to Joe Biden in 2020. State Attorney General Chris Mays.
The scheme, had it succeeded, would have deprived Arizona's voters of their right to have their votes counted for their chosen president. It effectively would have made their right to vote meaningless.
The indictments include Mr. Trump's former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, Rudy Giuliani, and John Eastman. The pandemic baby boom's gone bust, with U.S. births falling to their lowest rate since 1979. CBS's Alexander Tin.
That's roughly in line with trends we saw in the declining birth rate before the COVID-19 pandemic. New births last year declined for most groups except for Hispanic women, who saw a 1% increase from 2022 to 2023.
Pope Francis speaks out about warming Earth in an interview with CBS's Nora O'Donnell at the Vatican.
What do you say to the deniers of climate change?
Hay gente que es necia.
There are people who are foolish, and foolish even if you show them research. They don't believe it.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Busted pencils. Fully leaded education talk.
When you have a fully funded, privatized voucher system, Heather, help us out.
Wisconsin has made a choice to disinvest from the public good and put money into a wholly unaccountable system and just let their political cronies laugh all the way to the bank while our kids pay the price.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Civic Media. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 51 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear with a low of 40. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and breezy with scattered afternoon and nighttime thunderstorms. Our high tomorrow, 56. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now, 30.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke, I'm just going to say it again. The real problem here was that goofy in-season soccer tournament that they had. That threw everything
off.
That's
not... What are you talking about? That was December basketball.
basketball. You just couldn't figure out the rules.
You're exactly right. There are goofy rules I couldn't figure out. I don't like them.
You would not do well with driving on the left-hand side of the road.
Oh, absolutely not.
You would just start freaking out.
Yeah.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Thursday morning, we'll go in the pharmacy with Dr. Omar for one of my favorite segments of the week. You won't want to miss it.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Words, food, fiber, and farming. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Well, and on this Thursday morning, another F word is freezing. We've got freeze warnings in effect for a good chunk of the state of Wisconsin. Another chilly start to our day. Welcome in, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Youngke, and really, it doesn't matter where you are in Wisconsin. It's a chilly start. The good news is sunshine is on the way today. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful day after about 8 a.m. Today, we're looking for daytime highs right around 61 degrees. If you're on the lakeshore, maybe not quite that warm. Daytime highs of around 51. Breeze out of the east-southeast, about 10 miles an hour. But like I said, overall, a beautiful day. Tomorrow, the rain starts moving into Wisconsin. And as Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, has told us, this is likely to be a measurable event. Rain starts on Friday afternoon and probably continues into Saturday morning, then reoccurs again on Sunday. I'll let him bring in the rest of the details for you in about 15 minutes. Some other details we're working on this morning. Yesterday, the U.S. Department of Agriculture created a new federal milk order that has nothing to do with price or quality, but instead kind of dictates movement of cattle. Is that going to upset our consumers or upset our marketplace? Alan Bierga with the National Milk Producers Federation tries to explain. We're also going to find out what's happening with those markets in overnight trade. Bryce Windecker, one of the broker analysts with EverAg, is supposed to join us live this morning and give us a little perspective on that. We also want to introduce you to the new general manager of Farm First Dairy Cooperative. He was announced yesterday. And our Alice in Dairyland finals coming up next week in Door County. We're going to take a little time every day for the next 6 days to introduce you to the final candidates. So a lot to get in a short period of time. We'll get started with that next.
Fast growing, safe on seed, nutrient rich. Fuel up for a winning season with Paraline, the ultimate in-furrow starter fertilizer by CHS. This all-in-one liquid fertilizer combines advanced enzyme technology, a low-salt formulation, and patented chelate to develop strong roots faster and emerge ahead of the pack. Call your CHS agronomy representative to place your Paraline order today.
Mawson School District has been awarded a farm-to-school turnkey edible garden grant, where they're working to educate students about where their food comes from and really encourage eating healthy local foods. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and I got a chance to talk with Jackie Pyre, who is serving as the farm-to-school coordinator. And she says that she has had some great feedback so far from students, but also great feedback from the community members about the impact that it's having.
Just having somebody that's their sole role is dealing with farm-to-school is immense. It helps with everything. Just that I can focus on getting new things into the school, activities with kids. We're doing taste testings after school and then during lunches at each of the schools in the district. And that kind of helps out that I'm able to kind of freely roam around the district and see wherever staff thinks that they could use my help, and just getting into contact with area farmers, connecting them into the school and then into classrooms too. For example, kind of getting area farmers to come into a class and experience, and they come in for the after school things too and kind of help and provide some of their produce for those activities.
What are some of the activities that you've done that maybe have stuck out to you that the students either really responded well to or maybe you weren't sure about and then at least tried, or that was food or just an education type thing that you brought to them?
I was really worried, actually. Just a couple of weeks ago, we tested burger sliders. So the kids made everything, patted up the hamburgers, even made the buns, and we brought in some greens from the high school greenhouse that students grew. And the thing was, we tested ground beef and ground goat meat, or Chavon. So I was really worried about kids trying the Chavon, but we had the producers come in and talk about it and describe how they raise the goats and the beef separately. And they ended up, they were all super jacked to try it and make it. And that's what I've been most surprised about, this is how willing kids are to try something new, to get hands-on and dirty. And it ended up being really good. It was about half and half that liked the goat meat better than the beef. So yeah, it was super surprising. Other things we've tried, I've been focusing on a lot of vegetables this winter. Area producers in Waniwaka and Mauston had a lot of extra beets and onions and sweet potatoes and that kind of thing, and carrots. The other month we did beet pancakes, which were, they basically look like Barney, but the kids absolutely loved it. And everybody that tried them, it was really good. And just the experience, you know, most kids, if they have tried a vegetable, usually it's just boiled or steamed. And I've been able to take just roasting them, it completely transforms something for kids to try. And it's probably been about a 90% success rate of kids liking what they've been trying.
You mentioned that they've got the school garden facilities. There's those raised beds, the indoor greenhouse. There's also hydroponics. And take me through those systems and how those are kind of being part of the project.
Part of the project has been mainly focusing on the greenhouse, just because we kind of needed some of that expensive weather equipment to kind of regulate venting and things like that. And so we've been kind of focusing on the greenhouse more because Ms. Babcock with the agriculture department, she's got the aquaculture that she uses with her classroom. There's hydroponics also with that, and they're called grow towers or fork farms, and those are really nice. They're super thin columns that we've been able to produce enough lettuce to have a weekly harvest for the school lunch program. And we have the help of the student gardener that kind of maintains things in the greenhouse and plants kind of weekly things that do go to the school food program.
So you mentioned lettuce. What are some of the other things that you guys are growing that you are able to use in the school program, or maybe in the future are hoping to use?
We did have kids start from seed, peas and beets that they're able to eat, and some broccoli and kohlrabi that we've been kind of testing just in the greenhouse and in the raised beds. Like during that warm streak, we kind of put some broccoli plants outside. Just, we're really hoping just to expand on that. Things that do super well with the school lunch program is like things for salad bars or wraps, because they're always every day after school have snack kind of things, sandwiches, things like that. Right now we just kind of supply for the high school. Each of the other schools do kind of have their own grow towers that they just have kids experiment with. And I know like the elementary school, they're going to look into doing microgreen kits for each of the classrooms and kind of incorporating that into the curriculum. So in the future, it's just, we'd like to just expand more as the needs of the district expand too.
Take me through a little bit more about how you are working with local farmers as part of this project.
So part of the grant, we put together an edible garden team, and that's with community members, some school staff, and some business partners too. And it's just community members that want to get their input heard for farm to school activities in the school and the staff, because that really helps to see what would actually be feasible in the classrooms. So we meet about once every other month and we go through some ideas and what's working and what's not, and that helps connect us with the goat and the beef. Those producers are both on the edible garden team. And then they're gonna, you know, everybody has their own connections. So it's just expanding the connections to hopefully eventually be able to purchase foods from them, just to keep it all in the area.
What impact have you seen this farm to school program then having on the community so far? Or what kind of feedback have you received?
So in the community, I've heard with this edible garden team, it's super positive. And we just were able to start Mauston's first maple syrup project. We partnered with the Outdoors Forever Club. It's a conservation club because Mauston doesn't really have a usable school forest for maple syrup. So Outdoors Forever has been super helpful, and they love to help out kids and do different kind of classroom activities out there. So I think I could see that really expanding. And then hopefully we can kind of pull in different businesses, because Mauston has a great community support. I mean, maybe eventually do some community garden classes, some cooking classes and things of that nature.
So there are still at least a few more months of school left. What are your plans for the rest of the year then with the program?
So hopefully this spring we'll put in an orchard, actually, behind the high school somewhere. So hopefully that will work with the younger kids and then with the city forester and with the local Northwoods orchard as well, to hopefully put an orchard in, maybe some grapes and some raspberries and that kind of thing. Otherwise, I'll just continue doing some tastings. Next month, we'll be at Linden Station. I'll come during lunch. And that month is we're featuring peas. So we're growing the peas in the greenhouse that I just picked actually today. So we'll do some fun activities with that. And Mauston School District does this really cool community sharing suppers. And that's once a month during school, and it's open to the public where businesses sponsor and then the school serves a lunch and kids help out, and there's different projects and activities you can do. So I'm hoping in May that community supper will feature an all local meal from producers, and then hope to have some local producers come in and have tables and that kind of thing too, to draw just some more connections through the community.
That was Jackie Pyre, Mauston School District Farm to School Coordinator. She says that with each seed planted, each meal shared, and each community partnership that she's trying to help to create for them, Mauston is really setting up that next generation for success and creating a more connected community. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Originally the home of the Milwaukee Braves, now your home for the Milwaukee Brewers.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
Hey Wisconsin, it's construction season and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Hey, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. All right, we have all had that moment where it is hard to resist an impulse purchase. Last year, I bought this heart-shaped waffle maker because I was like, won't that make Saturday morning so much fun? Well, it turns out when you don't use the darn thing, you don't have that much fun. So here are two ideas to help all of us cut back on spur-of-the-moment spending. First, unfollow your favorite brands on social media. Last year, companies spent $68 billion advertising to us on social media. They know that stuff works. And second, make a wish list. I love this. I keep mine in the notes section on my phone. When I see something in a store or online, and I didn't have a plan to buy it, but I really want it, I put it on my wish list. And if I still want it a week later, I check my budget and I see if I can afford it. Somehow, I don't think the waffle maker would have made the cut. For more tips on spending less and making more, head on over to workmoney.org. Take good care.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on 99.9 and 98.1 FM and 1400 AM WRJN. And on the Civic Media app.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
On my next show, the celebration of Earth Week continues. I'm going to be joined by Carrie Schumann, Executive Director of Wisconsin Conservation Voters. Don't miss it.
Weekdays 2 till 4 p.m. News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
With some folks from the National Milk Producers Federation to find out what that's all about, at least what we know right now. Stick around for that. You know, the Midwest Horse Fair was just last weekend, and it brought into the Madison area literally thousands of visitors and thousands of professionals in the equine industry, not all of which necessarily come to mind immediately, like blacksmithing. Craig Trinka is a 40-year veteran of blacksmithing. He started WCB, which is the World Champion Blacksmithing Opportunity, and that's something that was held during the Midwest Horse Fair. He explains a little bit about the education side of blacksmithing, which people don't think about. It's actually something taken far more serious in places like England.
In England, they have accreditation for being a farrier, and it takes 5 years. Being a farrier and doing skill sets such as a carpenter or anything is you don't really learn it by verbal communication or knowledge. You learn it by seeing it and reproducing it and doing it over and over and over again. So the way you learn how to, let's say, pull a shoe off a horse is you pull 2,000 shoes off, and now you have the ability and the skill set to pull a shoe. So it's really, really a monkey see, monkey do type of trade where you see it done correctly, then it takes 2,000 times to try and reproduce it. And that's what, and so basically you're running out of time by the time your career ends of even knowing how to shoe a horse properly.
Wow, never thought of it that way, did ya? That's Craig Trinka again. He is a 40-year veteran of blacksmithing. And like you said, that includes being a farrier, knowing how to handle the horse's hooves properly. And like you said, in England, they've got the apprentice program. Here in the United States, you got to kind of find some of that knowledge on your own. Just one of the featured guests they had at the Midwest Horse Fair. You can see more on Craig Trinka and blacksmithing if you want to pop on over to MidwestFarmReport.com. I want to pop on over and talk a little weather with our man Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, on Thursday morning. So it looks like it's going to be a beautiful day today if you've got things to get done outside. It is starting off again on that cold side, but like you and I were talking about during the commercial break, for anybody that's doing field work, man, the dust is still flying out there.
It's dusty, dusty, dusty. And then, of course, we had those couple of shots of sprinkles. And I know somebody was out in the field and he said, that just made it all muddy and stick to my equipment. But then the next time it's dusty. We have a frosty start. And in fact, a freeze warning in effect until 8 a.m. And that's for Marquette, Green Lake, Fond du Lac, Sheboygan County, and south. It includes Sauk and Richland County. There's a frost advisory in far western parts of Wisconsin, Grant, Crawford, Vernon County as well. So it is cool. Be advised that if you didn't cover up something last night, could be a little frost on it this morning. But we have high pressure in the Midwest. We are going to have sunshine, a nice day, not too breezy, a beautiful day today. There is a little rain, some very scattered showers in the eastern Dakotas, far southwest Minnesota, and especially down in south central Iowa. Nothing that's an imminent threat for us. But low pressure is going to strengthen in Colorado, eject out into Nebraska tomorrow, head up towards central parts of Minnesota to start the weekend. That means Wisconsin lines up to see some rain chances. My expectation is the rain develops Friday and lasts around Friday night into Saturday. Multiple waves of activity moving through, keeping some rain chance around into Sunday. And we kind of mentioned yesterday, rain amounts that could be up in the half to one inch range, even more, not all at once. It's going to be over the course of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But the cumulative totals by Monday are going to sound like we had quite a bit of moisture. That will help out with that dust Pam and I talked about, but slows down a lot of work as well. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Just in time for the grilling season, Bavaria Sausage expanding their retail hours. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here, fresh off a visit to Bavaria Sausage at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Now open Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 9 a.m. until 6 p.m. Those are the expanded days of operation, giving you wonderful opportunities to step in and get ready for your grilling supplies, like their always popular red lager beer brats. Take a look at the smoked bratwurst. Maybe you're looking at some of the pre-cooked bratwurst they've got available. Whatever you're looking for, they've got it ready for the grill. And check back often, because I'm really impressed with some of the new flavors that are being developed by Bavaria Sausage. Always with respect to the old world traditions, but also adding a new zing to some of our traditional favorites, like Landjagers. Start shopping now, BavariaSausage.com. Alrighty, Stu, let's talk about this forecast in detail. So we're going to be able to squeeze out a pretty nice day today, all in all. But then when time-wise do you think that rain starts coming in?
Well, that rain starts showing up for Friday. It could be in the morning in far western Wisconsin, midday in the south and the central, and then afternoon further east. But the rain will be developing through the day Friday. Keep in mind that freeze warning, frost advisory this morning, a sunny, beautiful Thursday, very upper 50s and low 60s. Southeast winds 5 to 10. Still clear overnight. back into the upper 30s, a little cooler in eastern Wisconsin, southeast winds at 5 to 10. It's Friday, the rain develops, still upper 50s or about 60, southeast winds gusting near 20 and 30. The winds pick up Friday, even windier Saturday, mostly cloudy, windy, maybe a morning shower or storm, more likely later in the day again. Temps in the mid-70s, yeah, way above normal. South winds, though, 12 to 25, gusting to 30 and 35 on Saturday, Pam, and still clouds with that wind and rain on Sunday. Sunday's wind speeds up to 20 and 30 miles per hour. So it's going to be windy and wet on and off this weekend.
Holy crow, yeah. Well, like we said, note to self, get it done today instead of waiting for the weekend, right?
Yep, this is the day to make all kinds of progress because it starts to change tomorrow.
All right, dude. Very good. We'll catch up with you tomorrow, okay?
You got it. See you then.
Stu Mock, our ag meteorologist, joining us live this morning with those weather details you may or may not be looking forward to. Again, there's a lot of folks around Wisconsin still in need of that rainfall, most definitely. And like he said, if you've been out in the rural countryside watching folks that are doing some of that tillage work, you see how the dust is flying. More food news on the way.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Home of the Don Rosen Morning Show, weekdays 6 till 8. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
When it comes to Wisconsin sports, WRJN has you covered. All this season, WRJN is pleased to be your new home for the Milwaukee Brewers. Hear all the games home and away on WRJN. Of course, we'll follow the Bucks through the playoffs and bring you Badgers and Packers when those seasons start. WRJN is also home to one of our state's top sports reporters, Mike Clemens, with his reports every hour, now sponsored by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Learn more at paysbig.com. Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and WRJN, great partners for hometown sports.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The first Trump criminal trial is underway, but the 2020 fake electors still face months of investigation before any alleged conspirators are brought to trial. Michigan, Georgia, and Nevada are the furthest along, having charged 25 participants. Charges for Arizona's fake electors are reportedly imminent. At the urging of Trump campaign lawyers, GOP activists in New Mexico, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Arizona, Michigan, Georgia, and Nevada allegedly signed an alternate slate of state electors to be submitted to the joint session of Congress. New Mexico and Pennsylvania AGs did not bring charges. A civil suit in Wisconsin compelled 10 GOP fake electors to declare Joe Biden the winner. But WALB News reported April 11th that Georgia Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones is being investigated as one of 16 fake electors there. A Nevada grand jury charged 6 GOP activists last December, and a trial is scheduled for January 2025. Michigan charged its 16 fake electors last August and has preliminary hearings scheduled for 8 of 15 defendants in April. Bridge, Michigan reports that in a February preliminary hearing for 6 others, testimony suggested the participants had been told by a Trump campaign lawyer that the process was appropriate and could be considered by congressional legislators. We have links to local reporting in each of the states at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt Mayer on air.
We Energies said the raccoon came into contact with some equipment in a substation. I just have this vision of this raccoon being egged on by his buddy raccoon going, touch them both. See what happens. Do that. Then touch that one.
They're not cute. They're not cuddly. They are disease-ridden, opposable thumb-having little trash pandas.
Matt Mayer on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
CBS News Brief. Los Angeles police in riot gear arrested 93 protesters at USC who were demanding the school cut ties with Israel over the war in Gaza.
They're funding this genocide that's happening in Palestine and to our people.
I have no problem for people fighting for what they believe is right. The issue that I have is when there are hate crimes and hate speech.
More than 30 were arrested at the University of Texas, Austin. Supreme Court hears arguments today on former President Trump's claims of immunity from criminal prosecution. Notre Dame Law's Derek Mueller.
The court is going to want to make sure it has its I's dotted and T's crossed. Whenever you're dealing with this question of presidential authority, you're thinking about the next 50 or 100 years on it.
Rudy Giuliani and Mark Meadows among 18 people indicted in Arizona in an alleged fake elector scheme in 2020. State Attorney General Chris Mays.
I will not allow American democracy to be undermined.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The University of Wisconsin's flagship campus in Madison is slipping in the global and national rankings. The Wall Street Journal ranks it 79th. Internationally, UW-Madison has fallen to as low as 102nd in one ranking. Authors of the UW's internal studies say the UW-Madison gets fewer federal research grants. People who need a few $100 in a hurry can take out loans on smartphone apps, but consumer advocates warn of steep hidden costs. Lucia Constantine is with the Center for Responsible Lending.
They are trapping consumers in a cycle of borrowing that is similar to that of a payday loan.
A bipartisan bill to curb predatory lending in Wisconsin stalled in the last session of the state legislature. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers with a win in Pittsburgh. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers held on to a 3-2 win over the Pirates. Pittsburgh walked in a couple of Brewer batters in the third. Milwaukee very shorthanded for pitchers. Bryce Wilson got his second chance at starting a game. Manager Pat Murphy.
I'm finding that out right now. I'm finding out I like him as a starter. I think he can do it. And I think he's getting started at it, you know, and I think he's very, very capable.
NBA, it's the Bucks and the Pacers tomorrow afternoon in Game 3 of their best-of-seven series. Chris Middleton says he's all right after missing part of the first half of the last game, getting a sore ankle retaped. College hoops, more players entering the transfer portal for more NIL cash. Greg Gard last night in Madison asked about A.J. Storr and Chucky Hepburn leaving the program.
I'm not mad at anybody because, or specifically Chucky and AJ, if anybody in their right mind told any of you guys or gals that you could go triple your income, you'd do it in a heartbeat.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Civic Media.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 51 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear with a low of 40. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and breezy with scattered afternoon and nighttime thunderstorms. Our high tomorrow, 56. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now, 30.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Are you making plans to honor Mother Earth? April 22nd is Earth Day, and it's a Wisconsin idea. Our Senator Gaylord Nelson created the day in 1970. It was his way of pushing environmental issues onto the national agenda, and many demonstrated in support. It worked. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency formed by December of that year. And today, Nelson's daughter, Tia, continues her dad's efforts. The Earth Day theme this year focuses on the use of plastics. It includes a reminder of the goal for a 60% reduction in the production of plastics by 2040. If you want to find a cleanup or education event to help during Earth Day week, or anytime, check earthday.org. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's a polka party, and for good reason. 30 years ago, legislation making the polka our state dance became official in Pulaski.
I think everybody in Pulaski showed up in Zielinski Hall or on the streets because it was a polka day celebration.
That's then-Governor Tommy Thompson who signed the legislation in April 1994. But do you know who got the barrel rolling on the idea in the first place? The Wisconsin Polka Boosters, a class of second graders, or the State Folk Museum? The answer coming up.
It's tradition, it's culture, it's food, it's beer, you know, heritage.
Heritage back to the 1840s when the polka became popular with Europeans and came to America with them. So who started the Make Polka Our State Dance movement? A class of Madison second graders, but the Boosters and Folk Museum supported those efforts. It's a cultural slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on 99.9 and 98.1 FM and 1400 AM WRJN and on the Civic Media app. Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny.
I wonder what Matt Damon's mom would say when it comes to teaching science to little kids.
Wait, what? You want to know what my mom would say? All right, well, just ask her.
And there she is, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Welcome to Busted Pencils. Nancy, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. It's great to see you. It's great to be here.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce in Richland County. UW System made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the campus by July 1st of this year.
It's so short-sighted to think it costs a little bit more money to run it and there aren't as many students, so let's just shut it down. A smart business owner would say now is the time to invest because we know every person that comes through the door, you're going to get 40-fold the investment from how they're going to be able to give back to our state.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to WRJN Southeastern Wisconsin's home for the Todd Alba Show.
If your workout includes baling hay and pitching pens, then you'll be comfortable right here. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Well, if you need to pitch pens, today's the day to do it. It's going to be sunny and dry, not much of a breeze. We'll look for daytime highs right around 61 degrees in the Madison area, maybe a little cooler, 51 degrees along the lakeshore. But then you rainfall reporters are going to get your workout. Tomorrow we get rain starting probably about early afternoon, late afternoon, should continue overnight into Saturday. More rain on Saturday as well as Sunday into Monday. And like we said, Stu Mucky expects these to be measurable events. So today's daytime high around 61. Tomorrow, rain and 57. Saturday, rain and 74. Sunday, rain and 68 degrees. Rain continuing on Monday, 63 degrees. I'm Pam Yonke, by the way. Thanks so much for stepping in. We'll see if Bryce Windecker, broker analyst with EverAg, is going to step in this morning and give us the latest update on how the markets are moving this morning. So today is the 25th day of April. What can I tell you? Let's see. On this day in 1953, the double helix structure of DNA is actually described for the first time. Two different researchers published their findings about the molecule containing genetic information. It was in Nature on this day back in 1953. On this day in 2011, the largest tornado outbreak ever recorded in the United States happened. 348 people in six states were killed during the outbreak, which encompassed a total of 358 confirmed tornadoes on this day back in 2011. Lots of happy birthdays. Happy birthday this morning to actress Renee Zellweger. She's 55. Hank Azaria, he is 60 years young. And Al Pacino, he has turned 84. And now you know. There's a new element for the dairy industry to pay attention to regarding high path avian influenza in our dairy herd. Yesterday, the U.S. Department of Agriculture created a new federal order. Stephanie Hoff brings us the details and the potential ramifications.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture has just launched a federal order that says lactating cows must test negative for the bird flu before they are transported. Specifically, they need to test negative for the influenza A viruses, which is the group that includes the highly pathogenic avian influenza. The federal order starts on Monday. Alan Bierga with the National Milk Producers Federation has the details.
This is now going to be a reportable disease, which means if, you know, you go to your veterinarian or if it's interstate commerce and it's found that there's a positive case, you have to report it. It's now a requirement as far as animal safety inspections. And that basically makes it more official that this is what farmers need to do and there could be penalties if they don't.
Alan, what is this new federal order telling us about the severity of the highly pathogenic avian influenza in dairy cattle?
there are three dimensions to this, and you can look at HPAI from three directions. Primarily, this has been an animal health issue. Cows are getting sick. They've been temporarily losing production. Then they come back online. You know, that's different from what we've seen in poultry, where the mortality rates are very high in the birds. And in cattle, that doesn't seem to be the same effect. But at the same time, you know, because of the nature of this illness and the fact that it appears to now be spreading among dairy cattle instead of birds, there is the potential human health risk. So we have an animal health issue that becomes an implied human health issue because you don't want this to jump species. You know, once it's in a mammal, it's just that much easier. There's more ways that you can see a potential mutation that would then go into the human population, which is what we're trying to keep from happening. And so when you take a look at what, you know, USDA is doing, basically this control of movement is something that is meant to stop the spread in cattle, because if you stop the spread in cattle, that lowers the chance that this can become a risk in humans. That's really the crux of what's going on here in the interagency effort that you're seeing from USDA, FDA, and CDC. You know, the third way that people can look at this, and this is what you're talking about in terms of the panic, right? Consumers see all this going and they think, oh my gosh, there must be something with milk. I better not drink it. The government agencies have been very forthright, especially with FDA announcing, you know, on Tuesday, that pasteurization kills this virus. There is not a risk to the consumer population from drinking milk. This is all an effort to keep bird flu, H5N1, from jumping from dairy cattle potentially to human beings. It's to try to keep that particular flu virus under control. But this is not about the safety of the product that cows are producing. And that's going to be the really important thing to forestall that panic that you're talking about, right? People see this and they think there's a problem. I better not buy milk. That's not what's going on here. You know, just like in eggs, just like as in poultry, pasteurization is the safeguard that makes the difference and makes this not a consumer threat.
Again, the bottom line is that pasteurized milk and properly prepared meat are safe to consume. The new federal order that requires testing in cattle before transport is all about using science to stop the spread of the virus in cows so that it doesn't jump species again and infect people. Alan Bierga providing some perspective today from the National Milk Producers Federation. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Thanks, Stephanie. Today, our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection Secretary Randy Romanski is going to be visiting with the media to make sure that everybody understands what this new federal order means for dairy transportation. And he'll also be explaining Wisconsin's continued surveillance on cattle that might be coming into the state. We'll let you know if anything develops in that conversation. Remember, as of this morning, there are eight states that have already experienced different outbreaks of high path avian influenza in their dairy population. Those states include Idaho, Kansas, Michigan, New Mexico, North Carolina, Ohio, South Dakota, and Texas. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning trending a little lower, but it really doesn't have much to do with that federal order. At least it doesn't appear to at this time. December new crop corn and overnight trades unchanged at 473. November soybeans, they're currently down 5.5 at 1169. The July new crop wheat, that's up a nickel at 618 a bushel. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese was unchanged at 177. 40-pound block cheese dropped 2 cents to 174. Double A butter was up a quarter at 296 and three quarters per pound. This morning, the class 3 milk that goes into cheese May is down 9 cents right now at $17.69. The June milk currently down 21 cents, $17.70 a hundredweight. So we want to take a moment and introduce you to the finalists that want to become Wisconsin's next agriculture ambassador as our Alice in Dairyland. Remember, next Friday, they begin the final phase of their interviews up in Door County, where they're hosting the finale. This morning, we want to introduce you to an agriculture educator and FFA advisor in Hustisford. Her name, Sierra Essex. She grew up in the Fort Atkinson area around her grandparents' dairy operation. She was a student at UW River Falls and ultimately found her passion was to educate. She explains to me a little bit more about her background and why she's decided she'd like to be our next Alice in Dairyland. Sierra Essex.
My passion for agriculture began as a little girl helping on my grandfather's dairy farm in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin. I remember playing with the kittens and feeding the calves, helping getting ready for the show season.
Yeah.
I showed cattle all throughout my 4-H and FFA years. And within FFA, I judged dairy cattle. And my supervised agricultural experience project in FFA was agricultural education. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoy teaching others, especially about how to get their animals ready for show. And that passion, therefore, led me to UW River Falls, mm-hmm. where I majored in agricultural education, pursued a minor in dairy science, and was very active on campus. Yeah. I was on the WRFW radio station. I was a member of the River Falls Dairy Club, as well as the Agricultural Education Society.
Right, right. Now, you've been teaching. Help people understand why you decided that Allison Dairyland might be the next nice fit.
Within the classroom, I'm only able to teach within the four walls. Of course, we go outside and we do labs and activities, but I wanted to educate consumers on a larger scale, all the way from our fourth graders and our young children, all the way up to the elderly and those consumers who are buying the products that we produce here in Wisconsin, and just educating them and making them familiar with the farmers and producers that bring us those products.
Mm-hmm. When you take a look at the role of Alice, give me a couple areas where you really are excited to concentrate.
I'm very excited to travel. I traveled a little bit being in college from my hometown of Fort Atkinson up to River Falls, but being able to stop in and connect with those farmers and learn about all of the different diverse industries that we have here in our state. I'm also looking forward to featuring those projects, especially with the Something Special from Wisconsin program, as well as some of those partners of the Allison Dairyland program are Wisconsin corn growers, the potato growers, and the dairy farmers of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Your agriculture education background probably lends nicely to some of this.
Absolutely. Being a teacher, I've created lessons from animal science and plant science to Wisconsin ecology and egg business leadership, and all of those things come into play in the role of Allison Dairyland.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you prepare from this point going forward for the finale?
So we wrap up this weekend with a little bit of media training and understanding what the roles and positions of Allison Dairyland are. And then we will go through multiple projects that will help prepare us, practicing some of those media things, learning about Wisconsin agriculture statistics, and preparing ourselves professionally for the role come the finals in May.
Now, people are going to learn a lot about you, Sierra, over the course of the next couple of months for sure. Tell me one thing that people don't know about you that will either surprise them or really help them better understand why you're into this.
Everybody knows that I have a passion for dairy cattle and Wisconsin agriculture, but I don't think people would know that I enjoy viewing Wisconsin's agricultural landscape from my motorcycle. I enjoy being able to see those cornfields and feel the wind in my hair and just being able to enjoy Wisconsin from a different perspective.
There you go. Can't argue with it. That's Sierra Essex. She is one of the six finalists that would like to become our next Alice in Dairyland. She hails from the Fort Atkinson area, currently living in Fox Lake, ag instructor, FFA advisor in Hustisford. We'll be highlighting each one of the six finalists for the next 6 days here on the Farm Report to let you know a little bit more about those candidates before they arrive in Door County. More food news on the way.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Don Rosen in the morning and your home for the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
When it comes to Wisconsin sports, WRJN has you covered. All this season, WRJN is pleased to be your new home for the Milwaukee Brewers. Hear all the games home and away on WRJN. Of course, we'll follow the Bucks through the playoffs and bring you Badgers and Packers when those seasons start. WRJN is also home to one of our state's top sports reporters, Mike Clemens, with his reports every hour, now sponsored by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Learn more at paysbig.com. Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and WRJN, great partners for hometown sports.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about how to get out of credit card debt. It's going to sound so simple, it's silly. Call your credit card company and ask them for a lower interest rate. I mean, they really will do this sometimes. Now, before you call, get your facts together. If you've been doing all the right things, you know, like paying on time every month, tell them that and ask for a lower rate. If you're going through a tough time, like unemployment, tell them your story. In most cases, they'd rather get something from you than nothing. And if they still don't budge, let them know you're thinking about leaving. Mention lower rates you've seen from other credit cards. And finally, if you really don't get anywhere with the first person you talk to, call back and, you know, try talking to somebody else. A 20-minute call could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Okay, folks, that was your Work Money Minute. For more everyday money help, go to workmoney.org. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
When you have a fully funded, privatized voucher system, Heather, help us out.
Wisconsin has made a choice to disinvest from the public good and put money into a wholly unaccountable system and just let their political cronies laugh all the way to the bank while our kids pay the price.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny, weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, all things sports with the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan, weather and wine with Brittany Merlot, and Brewers tickets. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to News, Talk, and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Derry, it's not a new conversation, that's for sure, but you say this latest up and down motion we've seen on the Class 3 milk prices, which dictate what our cheese folks are doing, kind of all ties in together. What's going on with the volatility you're seeing?
Yeah, it's been exceptional here as of late, Pam. Class 3 milk has ripped upward $3 from the in May from the recent low set this past April. We went from a low of $15.63 all the way up to $18.38 the other day. Finally got some cheese exports off nearby here. Nothing long term, but definitely cleared the market for the time being. We're actually starting to hear some cheese manufacturers in the West and Southwest short of some milk and had to actually short some traders. And now we're seeing those traders come to the CME spot trade and running up our cheap cheese price. If you've been following the nearby Class 3 contracts versus the deferred, there was quite a spread, and now that spread is very narrow as cheese prices have come up so much.
What did they run out of milk for in the West? Well, how'd that happen?
This is our first look we've seen at the milk production report that came out on Monday since the bovine influenza started this past March. Texas was down 5%. As well as New Mexico being down 15%. But California actually was able to make up a lot of the difference to keep our expectations in line. California was up almost a whole percent. So the milk production for the states actually fell minus 1%. But by the time you correct that for components, we're actually a little bit of ahead of where we were last year. But, you know, I think it's interesting to note, you know, that some of these major cheese processors are slipping down on their cheese production here recently in the spring flush. So I think things could get exciting in the next week or two. But we continue to hear that end users and retailers can go find cheddar cheese if they need it. I think this is more of a short-term problem than it is a long-term. We had a cold storage report come out yesterday, and actually – we're a little bit behind where our cheese storage was last year. We're hanging out at about 1.459 billion pounds in storage. So that's plenty for anything that we need during this time of the year. We'll continue to watch that. But I think we're finally starting to see those cheaper prices get passed off to consumers. Walmart and Target are running very good. $1.97 and below 8-ounce shredder cheese sale options. And we're seeing fast food restaurants run value menus finally on some of these products because, let's be honest, it wasn't a very good deal going to McDonald's anymore and getting lunch, was it?
Good point. Bryce Windecker along with us. He's one of the broker analysts with EverAg. That's ever.ag. Let's play this out a little bit more, Bryce, so that we give some hope to our struggling dairy farmers listening this morning. Like you mentioned, you're not going to turn around a 15% drop in milk production like we saw in New Mexico. Is there, with some of these big plants that have come online, South Dakota seems to be taking care of itself, but we got that big one that's just outside of Dodge City, Kansas. Is it going to be enough to lure possibly milk from the Midwest to some of those new facilities?
Absolutely. The dairies that were slated to come online in the Southwest are definitely going to be behind schedule just because they didn't have the opportunities to protect prices at a favorable level when the cheese plants demanded that they were getting built and wanted milk. And if the price of cheese isn't going to do it, then they're going to have to raise their basis and attract that milk and buy it over the board price just to try and get the milk that they need. Or it's going to come further from the Midwest. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. And our heifer inventory isn't building. We were down on cow numbers again. So I think, you know, as long as we can get through this tougher economic time, I think things could get really exciting for dairy in the next couple of years.
What about by the end of 2024?
By the end of 2024, I am concerned with the new cheese plants coming and us. We still have to export prices below $1.70 in order to be competitive. So I think this year is going to be tough to achieve a $1.80 cheese price through the rest of the year, like the futures curve does say right now.
Bryce Windecker along with us live this morning. Thank you, Bryce. Appreciate it, my friend. You can find him, as always, at ever.ag. I'll see you tomorrow morning.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to WRJN, Southeastern Wisconsin's home, for Matt Nair on Air.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful.
In the cicada
dialogue.
World, this year is different. I'll tell you why next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Since this program airs in many different parts of the country, some of you will see and hear the upcoming cicada emergence only on television or the internet. This is a rare year for cicadas, with two brood hatches at roughly the same time. Kansas State University entomologist Raymond Cloyd.
April through June is the emergence of brood 19 and 13 of the 13 and 17 year cicada. They're not going to harm you. They're just out mating, and then they'll lay their eggs, and then they'll die out.
While they can be very noisy, cicadas are considered relatively harmless where humans are concerned. Cloyd says, however, they do pose a problem for trees and bushes.
They can lay 20 to 30 eggs in what we call these egg nests, and those can actually damage some branches. So later on, after the adults kind of phase out and die out, you might start seeing some flagging or branch dieback, especially in oaks and other large trees.
Cloyd says you can put netting around trees and shrubs to protect them if you're in an area where cicadas emerge.
I have been through two of these, and I think it's worth the travel to go see millions and millions of cicadas, adults just flying around. And they're not going to harm you. They're just out mating, and then they'll lay their eggs, and then they'll die out. From an entomological perspective, it's a phenomenon.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
T. Schwaba.
On my next show, I welcome brewery owner and classically trained singer Kirk Bangstad and singer Brentley Brehm and host of Civic Media's Max Inc., Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Matt Nair on air.
We Energies said the raccoon came into contact with some equipment in a substation. I just have this vision of this raccoon being egged on by his buddy.
You're listening to WRJN and W260 CV Racine, W251 BU Kenosha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.